Testing in the House Chamber, 130th Legislative Day.
The House will come to order. Members will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. The Sergeant-at-Arms will close the doors. Members and visitors are asked to please silence any electronic devices. This morning's prayer will be offered by Representative Carter. We'd ask our members and guests in the gallery to please stand for the prayer and to remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance thereafter. Representative Carter.
All right, let us pray. Father, as we do come before your throne this morning, we thank you for being our God. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who died and gave his life that we could have eternal life. This morning, dear Lord, I just pray for this body. I pray, God, that you'd help us as we do your business. And Lord, this morning, we just thank you for all that you have done for us and all that you will do for us. And as always, Lord, we do pray for those in authority over us, that you'd be with them, guide them, and direct them in the right way. And we do pray always for the safety of our first responders, our policemen, our highway patrol, our sheriffs, all those who are servants. And Father, this morning, we just ask that you bless this session, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for September 12th has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Lewis moves the journal for September 12th be approved as written. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. As have it. The journal is approved as written. Ratification of bills and resolutions. Clerk will read.
The Borough Clerk reports the following bills duly ratified for presentation to the governor. Senate Bill 118, an act consistent with House Bill 966 of the 2019 regular session. 1. Appropriating funds for the Division of Adult Correction and Juvenile Justice Prison Safety Equipment and Information Technology Security Equipment upgrades for prison man down technology and cameras. 2. Requiring the Department of Public Safety to report to the Joint Legislative Oversight Committee on Justice and Public Safety regarding the Department of Prison Reform Initiatives. 3. Clarifying that certain funds in the House Bill 966 and other salary and benefit bills enacted in 2019 are described as departmental receipts. And 4. Approving the 2019-2022 Temporary Assistance to Needy Families State Plan. Senate Bill 429, an act to enact the 2019 Disaster Recovery Act consistent with the provisions of the House 966 of the 2019 regular session and to appropriate funds. Senate Bill 458, an act designating Post-Traumatic Stress Injury Awareness Day in North Carolina, addressing parental consent and the disposition of fetal remains, and authorizing engagement with third-party toxicology laboratories guide resources.
Chapter bills will be noted. Members, advise the body of our anticipated schedule today. As many of you know, the redistricting committee has been working quite a bit this week. We have taken what would normally take months and put into a matter of days into the process. The chair was informed that that the committee had apparently finished most of their deliberations, but there were some things that needed to be resolved that staff discovered. And so as a result, the redistricting, we're going to go into recess in just a bit so that the redistricting committee can meet. And my understanding from Chairman Lewis is that it may take maybe an hour, slightly over, for that committee to complete its work. The bill also has a serial referral to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House that would be meeting immediately after that committee in the same room. The chair believes that there's a staff time involved to do that. The chair is going to momentarily seek consent just to strike the referral to rules and allow the redistricting committee to meet, and then the redistricting committee is going to have the time that it needs to continue meeting this morning on the bill. And then once that committee reports it out, the bill would be added to today's calendar. It just as a matter of legislative efficiency, it seems to make sense to let it just be heard in the redistricting committee and reported out. But that'll be up to the body to do that. So the chair would say, first of all, is there any objection to striking the referral to the Committee on Rules, Counter, and Operations of the House?
Mr. Speaker, inquiry of the chair.
Gentleman's recognized.
So, Mr. Speaker, I'm aware I have three amendments to the bill. I am not on the redistricting committee. I believe there are at least two other amendments to the bill. So it would be my request to understand if you would prefer those to take place in Rules Committee where you can do more committee work, or would you prefer that those amendments be done on the floor?
If the gentleman wants, I think the gentleman could run those amendments in redistricting. I know the gentleman is not a member of the committee. I don't know if that's... I know the whip is. I don't know if Representative Reeves would want to argue them for you, but the gentleman would be allowed to run those amendments in committee. It's up. What I'm thinking of, Representative Jackson, is the lag time between, you know, when that committee reports out, staff has to consolidate everything, then send it yet to another committee, and then you, of course, have that where it comes here to the floor. It's whatever the body wants to do, but I can tell the gentleman that if the gentleman will be recognized to run the amendments, if the gentleman decides not to run those amendments or cannot run those amendments, the amendments would be considered on the House floor. So, I think you'll have a chance to get a vote on the amendments is what I'm saying in the redistricting.
Inquired to chair.
Yes, sir.
Will there be a certain time today that amendments will be due?
So, we were anticipating, that we were going to try to start this morning with session, but things ran behind. And I'll tell you, I'm not going to criticize anything. They've done, I think one thing we can all agree, the staff has really worked really hard to try to put all this together. And my shout out to them for what they've done. They were here much later than all of us. And it just takes a while to do it. So let's do thank the staff, at least. They're not here. Ms. Goldsmith, if you can relay that applause, but they'll get it again after it's over. I can promise you that. We appreciate it. And same as our clerk's office, our clerk's staff, clerk and staff were here till late. But does that satisfy the gentleman's questions on that?
So, Mr. Speaker, I would not object to striking the referral rules
okay.
based
and,
on that.
And I did not answer your question. You asked me what time on the amendments. Originally, it was going to be 11, but that was thinking we'd come straight in. What I would say is this. The chair anticipates that I talked to Representative Lewis. He believes that we could come back, that we could pick back up in here at 10:30. That's an hour and a half. If we run behind, we will wait. We will adjust the start time for session as necessary for the committee to finish its work in that case. But the chair is looking at 10:30. And actually, I think I can streamline the process a little bit. Representative Jackson, would the gentleman like to serve on the redistricting committee?
Not at this point.
Are you sure?
I've had that request for several months, as the speaker is aware, so I'll take a pass at being added at the last minute after the maps have been drawn. Further inquiry of the chair.
Gentleman's recognized.
Will the Democratic caucus be given a chance to caucus after the maps are prepared so that our members can actually review the maps who are not on redistricting before they're asked to vote on them?
Certainly. So we're looking at, let me check and see how long staff will need to compile that. Just a moment.
No? Huh?
Ms. Goldsmith, could you approach the dais, please? House will come back to order. So the chair is going to submit the question formally to the body. Is there objection to striking the referral of the redistricting bill? Mr. Cork, what is that bill number?
Mr. Speaker.
House Bill 1020, striking the referral to rules. Is there objection?
Mr. Speaker, I was asking some inquiries when you went to your conference. I would like to ask a few more questions if I can,
yes, sir,
before I make that decision. So I think the question was, would we be able to caucus before we came back on the floor? I think that's where I left it.
Okay, so we're going to, and I'm going to push us back to 11. So the redistricting committee should be done by then. And if let me say this, Representative Jackson, if you need time to caucus, tell the chair you'll get time to caucus. But the chair believes that the, because I do believe the Republicans want to caucus as well. So chair believes that the committee may be done by 10:30. And so that would leave time, but look, if anybody needs additional time, I'll push it back. I don't want to set it too far out. It is a Friday. I'm trying to accommodate everybody's travel schedules, but we'll push it if we need to.
Okay, inquire of the chair.
Yes, sir.
And that was one of the questions I had. Do our members need to plan to be here Saturday? A lot of them have to check out of their hotels by lunchtime if they're not going to need to be here tomorrow.
The information we
got was that it might be here through the weekend.
The chair does not plan on us adjourning until we pass these maps. Hopefully that will be today. The chair believes it can be today, but if it goes over to tomorrow, so be it. But at this point, the chair anticipates by starting this morning, committee process, and then coming back, you know, if we came in at 11, that would be, let's say we ran behind at noon. I mean, that would be, for us to have to come back tomorrow, that'd be 12 hours of debate. I think all of us are probably a little too tired for all that right now.
Okay. Thank you, the chair.
Yes, sir.
And would it be the speaker or the redistricting chair's intention to open these maps once they're finalized up for any type of public comment or public hearing?
The chair has spoken with the redistricting committee chair, and the redistricting committee chair is going to offer up public comment in the committee this morning.
Okay. Mr. Speaker, and if I understand the court's order, we have until next Wednesday to complete our work on these maps. And so I just wonder, why are we not letting people, after we pass them in redistricting this morning, why not let them sit for a day or two, come back on Monday, have the votes, let people have the weekend to look at them, become accustomed with it, prepare their arguments, hear from their constituents, and have those votes on Monday?
The chair believes that it is best to, in my law practice and everywhere else, I don't like to bump up against deadlines. And, I take the court's deadline very seriously. And so we anticipate voting this out today. But there will again be the public hearing. This has been the most public process in the history of the state on redistricting. The citizens of this state have been allowed to literally watch the maps being drawn with three computer screens and a live feed of the chamber. So I would submit that those who have wanted to follow this have had an opportunity to see this, see how this has happened, actually see these districts develop, and they've been out there. I know the maps, the base maps were released, I guess, the night before the meeting or whenever, the afternoon before the meeting. And then, of course, yesterday went through the full process. And so the chair is aware there's been a lot of communication out there on the social media and whatnot with the map, you know, with once the maps have passed being shared. So the chair believes there's been that. But what we haven't had is public comment as much as the chair, frankly, would like. So, but I believe that accommodation is being made today.
Mr. Speaker, can I ask the chairman of the Rules Committee?
Representative Lewis, gentlemen, yield.
Harnett County, a question.
I yield.
Yields.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for yielding to the question. Do you know approximately what time last night or this morning that the maps would have been put online, the base map as ordered in the PCS would have been put online so that the public could see it?
Representative Jackson, I thank you for your question. The last conversation I had with staff was around 12:15 last night. To be 100% candid with you, I do not recall what time the maps actually went live. With your indulgence, may I expand upon a question that you just asked the speaker? Representative Hall and I are trying to verify the date that we have to submit to the court. I have been operating under the assumption that it was close of business on Tuesday. The reason that we've been trying to push through is that, you know, the Senate has to also pass these maps. I don't know the working relationship over there. They have the second and third, the ability to check between second and third. So that was our concern and why we were trying to get the map to them today so that they would be able to get the map out on Monday and Tuesday of next week so that it could be ratified. I've sent an inquiry. In fact, Representative Hall is working on it now. We may be a day off, but our reading of the order was that it was due by close of business on Tuesday.
You recognize.
Representative Lewis, I know our house, we have in this house rules, I guess beginning this year, we have House Rule 41 that allows you to do second and third reading in the same day on redistricting bills. So is it your understanding that Senate does not have a similar rule?
That's correct.
If the court order actually says by close of business on September 18th, which I believe to be Wednesday, then that would, in fact, allow us to do second and third reading on Monday and still allow for 2 days in the Senate. Would that be right?
I believe that would be right per the order of the court, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Speaker.
What purpose, gentlemen, for wait? Representative Martin, rise.
Inquiry of the chair.
Gentlemen, recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wanted to clarify the chair's intent. Is it the speaker's intent that public input would be available after this body has passed maps?
No, sir. It's the chair's intent that public input would be, of course, public has had input all along. This has been a public process as they've been developed. But as far as speaking at the committee, that would happen this morning.
Inquiry of the chair, Mr.
Yes,
Speaker.
Sir.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Has notice gone out to the public that they have the opportunity to comment to the members of the committee today?
Per usual, just the committee notice that's there. And so as any bill that we ever have, it's always up to the chair to allow when a bill is noticed to allow public comment on any kind of bills.
Inquiry of the chair.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So to be clear, any notice of the committee that's gone out for today's House Redistricting Committee has no specific indication to the public that they would be granted an opportunity to be heard at this meeting?
The chair's not aware. I mean, I'm answering this question just directly to you, Representative Martin, right now, that whether those kinds of notices even go out. I know when we have, like, the things off-site, you know, we'll say it's a public hearing and all that, I know some that have been specifically called for just for the purpose of public hearing where the committee itself did not meet. But my understanding of the rules is that when a committee chair, any time a bill is there, can allow public comment, of course, and set a time frame on how much of that's there. Just as, for example, on the Judiciary Committee, when a bill comes before Judiciary and there's a bill, you may have advocates for you know, whether it's Advocates for Justice, the district attorneys, AOC, whatever it is, where they can come in and they can, the public members can have a chance to say their piece on the bill before the committee acts. So the chair anticipates that that's the way the redistricting committee would operate today.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Can I see if one of our redistricting chairs would yield to a question?
It looks like Representative Lewis turned his light on. Representative Lewis, gentlemen, yield.
I yield.
He yields.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, Chairman Lewis. To your knowledge, in the notice that went out on today's meeting of the House Redistricting Committee, was there any indication in that notice that the public would have any special opportunity to comment today?
Representative Martin, I did not specifically direct that that be included in the notice, so I would not believe it would have said that.
Thank you.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Gaston, Representative Torbett Rice.
See if Representative Lewis yield for a question.
Representative Lewis, gentlemen, yield. He yields.
Representative Lewis, I believe, and for the benefit of those that do not serve on redistricting, there has been a public comment portal that's been online since pretty much the creation of the committee, and some members that don't serve on that committee may not be aware that we have been and received a public comment throughout the process. Was that correct?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
For what purpose does the lady from Orange, Representative Insko, rise?
To ask Representative Lewis a question.
Representative Lewis, gentlemen yield.
Yes, sir.
He yields.
Actually, that was my question, was have you received any public comment? And evidently you have. Could you tell us if those are available to us, that we could see the public comment also, and can you give us an idea of how many you received?
Yes, ma'am, we have received public comment. The chair actually put forward a directive to the staff that there be a mechanism developed so that all the members of the House could see it. To be frank with you, I don't know if that step was missed or not, but I will make sure that the public comment is resent out to all of the members of the House as soon as I can get off the floor.
Thank you.
For what purpose, lady from Johnson, Representative White rise.
Mr. Speaker, to ask a question of the of Representative Lewis.
Representative Lewis, does the gentleman yield to
yes,
Representative White? He yields.
Representative Lewis, according to my emails, all the House members received a notice from Ms. Churchill at 8:42 this morning, and it gave a list of all the public comments. Is that what you were referencing?
Representative White, I was not aware of that, but my staff has advised me that it was sent out. It is possible that some of the members just haven't seen it out of an abundance of caution. We'll just resend it.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Durham, Representative Hawkins, rise?
Yes, to ask the rules chair a question.
Representative Lewis, gentleman yield. He yields.
You.
I think that Representative Jackson asked a question about when maps, and I sent an email this morning because I did get the 8:42 a.m. email about public comment, but not necessarily an update on the maps from last night. And so I know that what they were supposed to do, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is they were supposed to take all of our changes and make another statewide PCS. And so I just wanted to make sure that if it could get up for public comment, and just so that the members could see all those changes, that'd be great. Just wanted to ask the question for you is when you think that will happen, because it has not happened to date.
Well, thank you for that, Representative. Your recollection is correct that the adopted maps are going to be turned into a committee substitute. If for whatever reason that's not yet been posted to the web, I will direct that it be immediately done so as soon as we can get off the floor and commence the work of the committee.
For what purpose does the lady from Orange, Representative Insko, rise? For what purpose does the lady from Wake, Representative Ball, rise?
An inquiry of the redistricting committee chair, please.
Representative Lewis, gentlemen, yield.
Yield.
He yields.
Representative Lewis, I'm unable to find the updated versions after the work of the redistricting committee was done last night online. There appeared to be a couple of them that have been changed per the work of the committee, and many of them have not. Are they not online yet?
Representative Ball, I appreciate your question. I appreciate Representative Hawkins' question, Representative Ensco's question. I don't have any more information now that you're asking than I did the first two times I was asked that.
Follow up?
Jim O'Neill.
Sincere apologies. I didn't understand that was exactly the question you had been asked. I just noted that there were some that were updated and some were not, and I was just seeking some assistance as to where to find the maps that we were actually preparing to share with the public.
And to be clear, it was the chair's belief that that information was posted online. I just simply don't know at this time. We have, again, as the speaker said, we have tried to comply with the letter and the spirit of the ruling. We've drawn the maps online. People could watch it almost in real time. I think I was told there was a few seconds to delay. It's just the way it works. But I'm committing to you that as soon as we can get off the floor, I will make sure that the maps are, if they're not uploaded, they will be. I will say procedurally, what may have happened with the actual proposed committee substitute is that we could not vote it out last night. So usually until there's an actual committee vote and then the clerk reads it in, that's usually the key that triggers it to be put online. But the committee itself worked until about 9:15, and I was told staff was going to need 4 hours to get it ready to go. Representative Floyd threatened a mutiny if I asked people to come back at 2 a.m. So we will, as soon as we can get back and consider the PCS, but I will direct that the maps be put up online as soon as I can get off the floor with the understanding that they've not yet been adopted by the committee.
Thank you very much.
So the chair is going to ask again, is there objection to striking the referral of the bill to the Committee on Rules, Counter, and Operations of the House? Hearing none. So ordered. It is stricken. For what purpose? Gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell, rise.
For an announcement.
Gentleman has floor for an announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Republicans will caucus in 12:28 immediately upon the adjournment of the redistricting committee. So just watch that committee time. I do not have the foresight to know when that will be over with, but about 5 minutes after that committee, we will caucus in room 1228. Thank you.
What purpose, gentleman from Wake? Representative Jackson, rise.
For an announcement.
Gentleman has floor.
House Democrats will caucus immediately upon the adjournment of redistricting as well as in our normal room in 1425. I would ask the members that are on the redistricting to please bring any maps, any bill text for the PCSs that you have so that other members who are not on redistricting can review that during our caucus time.
What purpose is the lady from Orange? Representative Ensco, rise.
I think to ask Representative Lewis a question, or maybe you can answer. I'm curious about, do you know the time frame where public comments will be accepted? It would be after the committee, after the vote, after the committee votes?
I would anticipate it would be before the committee votes. And the redistricting chair is nodding affirmatively. If the committee runs over, just notify the chair. I'm about to put us in recess till 11 a.m., but if the committee's still going, it's good.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. And as I've told my members, as I've told this full house, that we, if we need to be here tomorrow to vote, we can vote tomorrow. But that's up to this body. Any further notices or announcements? If not, subject to the standard stipulations of Rule 15.1, the chair is going to declare that the House stand in recess until 11 a.m. House will come back to order. The chair is going to ask the clerk to send an email out that the House is about to go back into recess subject to the standard stipulations until 1:30. The reason for this, the chair met with central research staff, was advised that they would need a couple of hours to go back through everything, that they would need at least 3 hours from the adjournment of the redistricting committee. The chair was informed recently, I believe, that the redistricting committee is either is adjourning, has adjourned, or about to adjourn. So to make sure we leave a window, I think enough time for everything to happen, the chair is about to recess until 1:30, subject to the standard stipulations of Rule 15.1. And of course, during this time, the committee, while we're in session now, technically the committee is still allowed to meet. Any notices or announcements? If not, the chair is going to declare that the House shall stand in recess, subject to the standard stipulations, until 1:30 this afternoon.
Audio test.
The House is going to continue to stand in recess, subject to the standard stipulations, until 2 p.m. The House will come back to order. Representative Lewis, Representative Hall, recognized to send forth a committee report. The clerk will read.
Representative Lewis and Destin Hall, redistricting committee report, House Bill 1020, 2019 House remedial map, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable original bill.
The original bill is placed on the unfavorable calendar. The committee substitute is placed on the calendar for today. House Bill 1020. The clerk will read.
Representatives Destin Hall and Lewis, House Bill 1020, a bill to be entitled to act to comply with the order of the court in 18 CVS 014001, Wake County, General Assembly, North Carolina, acts.
The gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker and members, the committee substitute for House Bill 1020 that you have before you is the result of this House of Representatives' best faith effort to comply with a court ruling which ordered the redrawing of legislative districts in 14 of our county groups across this state. The House Committee on Redistricting set about in an unprecedented manner to comply with the order of the court in letter and in spirit. All of the remediation that was done in full public view, right down to the actual lines being moved on a computer screen, were done in full public view, not only of all the members of the committee and those present in the committee room, but it was streamed on the internet as well. I will get you the exact figures if you desire them, but there were over 5,000 unique views of the legislative streaming of the maps. We took public comment in writing for more than 68 hours of time. Much of that contemplated a different way to draw lines going forward. There was not as much actual constructive input as to how to fix the districts. So the way the committee went about in fixing the districts is we turned to an expert recognized by the courts and offered by the plaintiffs, the people that actually brought this lawsuit, Dr. Chin. And in Dr. Chin's report, what he says that he did is program his computer to take into account the unique laws that North Carolina has, like the county groupings, and to also take into account traditional redistricting criteria, like trying not to split VTDs. And let me say for the record that I sometimes use VTDs and precincts interchangeably. That is true almost everywhere in the state. There are a few places in the state, I don't think anywhere in this 14 group, where a voting tabulation district may have been split into a smaller precinct, but most of the time a precinct and a VTD are the same thing. So the one of the criteria was not to split voting tabulation districts. Another was to look at how many splits a municipality had. A third was equal population. Our Constitution requires us to draw seats that have the same number of people in each one of them, plus or minus 5%. So Dr. Chin produced 1,000 maps for the House completely at random using that criteria. He then produced another 1,000 maps for the House using that criteria and adding on the incumbency layer, which is something that the court said that this General Assembly, this House, may consider. Originally, the House committee began to use Dr. Chin's map set 2. The rationale I gave in committee then, and I'll give to you now, is we thought there would be fewer incumbency pairings if we used the Dr. Chin map set 2. What was pointed out to us and frankly made sense was that the incumbency layer that Dr. Chin used was the incumbency layer that was in place at the time the map was drawn. So some of these challenge county groupings that were struck down were actually drawn in 2011. So the incumbent that held the seat back in 2011 was the residence that Dr. Chin had used. So when we took a look at that, the committee decided that it would be better, and I would say that we got quite a bit of encouragement from the members of the committee, especially from the minority party, to use the Dr. Chin set map 1, which again, those are the 1,000 maps that he drew at random that did not consider the incumbent residency of anyone. Well, we wanted to go further. Because we were sincere in trying to pick a nonpartisan map. The court established and recognized that the Chin maps were in fact nonpartisan maps because Dr. Chin didn't use any kind of political data when he drew them. So we went through and recognized the traditional redistricting criteria that I've already mentioned. Split VTDs, split municipalities, equal population, things like that. And we said, let's figure out from among the best of the best Chin maps which one to use. But even in that case, we actually got a tremendous amount of help from Dr. Chin, who we were planning on having to take the exhibits that were used in court and manually, or to use Representative Queen's word, in an analog way, enter in the stats of each map and then use an Excel spreadsheet to sort them. I'll publicly thank plaintiff's counsel, which actually asked Dr. Chin to do that for us. So he actually sent forward a list of his maps ranked in those various ways, and then even developed on his own a waiting schedule, schedule's not the right word, a waiting formula that treated all of those traditional criteria the same way. The committee then went a step further, though. We directed our staff to use the top five CHIN maps in each of the 14 county groups and to devise a way to make a random selection of even those maps. So again, we're dealing with 14 county groups. We're dealing with five maps that the plaintiff's expert said were the best of the best, if you will. And then we did a random selection from among those five. And that is how we got to what we called the CHIN base map. Now, why did we do the CHIN base map? The court instructed us not to use the existing legislative districts in those 14 county groups as our base map from which to work. So we had to figure out a starting point. So what the committee elected to do is, as I said, first we started with the CHIN map set 2, in largely yielding to the concerns of the minority party, but also the practical concerns, we changed to the CHIN map set 1. We then took the CHIN map set 1, the best five in each of the county groupings, and we did a random draw. Some folks kind of had some fun with the fact that we brought in the lottery commission to do the random draw. I will tell you this. Those people are absolutely serious about their job. The little balls that they use in the machine, they come in a sealed case. There's a security guard there. They fed the balls into the machine and then drew the machine at random produce one. So again, we've got the five best CHIN maps, the plaintiff's expert, for each of the 14 groups, and we did 14 drawings to make sure that we picked a totally random base map to start with. So now we have 14 maps that were drawn by the plaintiff's expert, Dr. Chin. And the court authorized us, said that we may consider the incumbents. So we took steps as a committee, but also including members who resided in each of those affected county groups, let them come in and observe and offer input on how we could correct where incumbents were paired together. Frankly, I think that was one of the most bipartisan things that I've seen done here in a really, really, really long time. To the best of my recollection, again, there were 12 county groups. 14 county groups. 12 of those county groups, the modifications made by the committee passed unanimously. 12 out of the 14. In the 13th out of 14, there was one no vote. In the 14th out of the 14th, there were six no votes and some disagreements that, frankly, we gave hours and hours and hours of committee time to, that there just was not an easy fix to, that may be something else that we talk about later today. The bottom line, we received a court order. Part of that court order was to make sure that we conducted ourselves in the high, with the highest degree of transparency. That meant that all of the decisions that were made about the operations of the committee and the drawing of the maps were done in full public view. That made us move a little slower than sometimes we do, and that's okay. Made us seem a little less organized. That's okay too. But We also, as I said, had a portal online for the public to be able to offer input. That, as I was asked about this morning on this floor, was sent out to all of you to review. The ideas that were expressed there are important and certainly remain a part of the committee record and of the thought process for how to maybe draw districts in the future, because that's what a lot of the comments dealt with. So with that said, I am sincerely appreciative to every member of the committee, to our tremendous central staff, the sergeant at arms staff, and even our partisan staff for the work that they did. I'm sincerely appreciative to all the members who aren't on the committee but still took time to come and to participate and to listen. I appreciate all of the activists, the folks that have concern, who showed up every day and stayed for the long hours that we worked. I believe that the House Committee substitute to House Bill 1020 is the best faith effort that the House can put forward to comply with the order of the court. That being said, while I'm going to ask you to pass this map today, we are, and send it over to the Senate, we are going to sit with the Senate on Monday and receive public comment on both of the maps. That gives folks the weekend to offer up ideas. And if there's a good idea that comes from that or a mistake that's pointed out during that, we have assurances from the Senate that they will work with us to correct those when they meet to review our map. This is, after all, while it's a little more exciting because there's colored pictures to look at and things like that, this is a bill. This is a House bill that I'm going to ask you to vote for today and to go over to the Senate, and they will pass the bill as well. Again, we will be taking additional public comment on Monday. We're going to keep the portal open for online comments and continue to review those. We will make the absolute best faith effort that we can make to fully comply with the order of the court. That's why we are here today. With that, Mr. Speaker, I thank you and I thank the members of this chamber for the chance to speak on this issue. I believe this bill fully satisfies the order of the court. I believe this bill develops districts that are truly done in a nonpartisan way with no political data involved whatsoever. And I sincerely ask for your support on this bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. For what purpose does the gentleman from Wake, Representative Martin, arise?
To debate the bill.
You recognize to debate the bill.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And actually, before I debate, I wondered if the redistricting committee chair, Representative Lewis, would yield to a question.
Representative Lewis, do you yield?
Yes, sir.
He yields.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Chairman Lewis. On your last point, would you mind elaborating a little bit more on the procedure you envision by which this body, or rather this General Assembly, could respond to any public comment and public input and make changes to the maps once they've passed the House of Representatives?
Yes, sir. Representative Martin, thank you for the question. We worked as hard as we could to fully comply with the order of the court in terms of the drawing the maps in public, the full public debate and whatnot. We wanted to allow some time for public input today. I think you and several other members rightly pointed out that we didn't publicize that probably as well as we should. So this morning, I started thinking, how could we get additional public comment and sincerely be able to process what they said? Because sometimes that's, you know, sometimes an idea comes up and at first it doesn't sound good and turns out to be great. Sometimes the idea comes up, sounds great, turns out not to be good in the end. So I went down and I met with the Senate leadership of both parties, and we've agreed to do a joint House and Senate committee on Monday. That gives a whole weekend for the public to look at the maps. The committee's going to be there. We're going to hear the ideas. And let me say this, you and I have both been here a while, and a lot of times in the public, when the public comments on bills, they're kind of saying the same thing. They're not necessarily saying, hey, I think in House Grouping A, you should have done this. They said, here's how we think you should do it in general. So I do think it's a really good use of our time to do that together. That being said, we have agreement with our Senate counterparts that if an idea comes forward from that is a way to improve the maps, or there's a mistake discovered in the map. Sometimes that occurs. You forget to move a precinct, or you find out that the population really wasn't what it was supposed to be, that they will offer amendments on our behalf in the Senate committee when it takes up the bill on Tuesday. I will be there with Representative Hall to present the bill. It would also be my intent to have shared those ideas with the members of the committee from the House prior to that. I know that was a long answer to a short question, but I hope it makes sense.
Mr. Speaker.
You recognize Representative Martin.
To see if the gentleman from Harnett would yield to another question.
I do.
He yields.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, Representative Lewis. Would you be willing to offer up amendments that members, House members, have, even if you personally don't agree with them, or forward those to the Senate with your encouragement for the Senate to offer them?
I think that's an entirely fair question, Representative Martin. I think we would probably need to come back together in the House committee format if that were to come up, and to kind of develop a House position. I don't feel comfortable at this time saying that I would support any amendment that comes out of the Senate committee process. I'm just saying that I am open to taking a look at any idea that comes forward that helps us better comply with the order of the court.
Thank you, sir. To speak on the bill, Mr. Speaker.
You. And you recognize to speak on the bill.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And let me begin by saying that it's all too rare a privilege to address the gentleman from Catawba as such.
You are kind, Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, first of all, let me begin by expressing my appreciation to the gentleman from Harnett for his efforts to try to find some venue for public input at this time. I believe they are sincere. I do, however, have several concerns that we will not be able to get, in fact, the type of input we need from the public in order to make the right decisions on the districts we draw them into from which to elect their representatives. My concern begins with the information that they've had access to so far. What we've done with streaming the redistricting committee room with several different cameras on the committee as a whole, microphones on members, and also live streams of the computer feed themselves is unprecedented. And I think it represents a sincere attempt to try to get that information out there. But I think there are several reasons why it's fallen short. If you were, and to help explain this, try to put yourselves in the shoes of a citizen out there in North Carolina who we hope has the bandwidth to be able to actually see the live feeds that we put out there, both audio and video. If you lived in Chowan County, let's say, and you wanted to see how that that county might be treated in the redistricting process, you would not know for sure when your county was going to be discussed, and instead you'd have to sit there in front of the live stream and wait till it came up. It comes up on your screen, and what you then would see would be probably a map of your county, and you would see a column of numbers. If you knew something about redistricting, you would know that those numbers included things like population and its deviance from the ideal population and that sort of thing. And you would see precincts being moved. I think the original intent was to also have an audio feed along with that, but as I understand it, that was not implemented until later. And so if you wanted to hear the audio while watching the video, you had to start the live stream of the video and then separately go click on the audio and hope that they were somewhat synced up. It did seem that that was fixed later in the process. But you're not, so you're going to see precincts being moved around, and you're not going to have a great idea what the context in which they're being moved around is. You might be able to discern something. In addition, you would know maybe that you did have this portal through which you could comment. That's helpful prospectively in that you can provide some general input to your legislators what you'd like to see happen in the redistricting process. But unfortunately, because of the timing of things, that public access portal has been almost completely inadequate for the public to register their feedback on the final maps that were put before the redistricting committee. I believe I'm correct that after the redistricting committee passed its preliminary maps last night, it was not until just around midnight that the actual bill language came out. And Mr. Speaker, I think it's in order for me to hold up the text of the bill. But if you look at the text of the bill before you, it's not like our usual bills, which are in English. This is mostly in a bunch of numbers, which even to me, as someone who's been here for a while, I'm not able to discern what this means. So I think most folks in the public who aren't...
Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose did the gentleman from Pitt arise?
Ask Representative Martin a question.
Representative Martin, do you yield?
I'd be pleased to yield at the end of my comments.
He does not yield at this time.
So if you look at these numbers as a citizen or a layman, you're not going to be able to really get any actionable information from that. I know that at least of around 9 o'clock this morning when we members were on the floor, there was no way for us to actually access online maps from yesterday, shape files, or stat sheets and so forth. So I'm pretty sure the public was unable to also. In addition, I think there's some doubt as to whether the link that's up there now links to maps that are completely accurate. The upshot of that is if you were in the public, there was no way you would have any hope of being able to look at a clear map anytime you wanted in order to analyze it, which would also take some time, and then go to the public portal that the General Assembly has set up and provide your input. But I do want to focus on the importance to the public of public input. If you go and read the input that the public provided prospectively before there were actual maps for them to look at, you see comments like this, quote, "Are there plans for in-person public hearings around the state?" end quote. And from another citizen, quote, "The public should be able to weigh in on the maps before the legislative vote," end quote. And I'm worried that those public hearings around the state have not happened and that we've missed an opportunity to hear from the public. So while I do appreciate the sincere attempts to put a process together that opened the process up to the public and that at least puts an ear out there to listen to the public, that in the end the process has not been adequate enough for us, the decision makers, to get the input from the public we need. I want to end again by expressing my appreciation to the gentleman from Harnett for working with the Senate to come up with a process where the Senate says that they will entertain House suggestions on the chain, on any changes to the legislation. But in the end, I'm concerned that that goes against really the heart of our bicameral system. There's a reason why we have two separate bodies. It's to get two separate bodies thinking up, perhaps coming up to two separate good ideas for consideration. It's also so that the two separate bodies can serve as a check on each other. And my concern is with this process that we in the House are giving up too much of our ability to check those in the Senate. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does Representative Hall of Caldwell arise?
To debate the bill.
You're recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I just want to rise briefly to respond to my friend Representative Martin's comments, and I'm sure that I'll have to speak again on the bill later. But I do think that it's important for the committee to know some statistics about what the House Redistricting Committee did. And so for those of you who are not on that committee and have not been in that room with us for the last 3 days, let me give you some numbers. The first one is that we had public comment online for over 62 hours during the period of the committee. The online audio feed was live for over 40 hours. It was on over the course of 3 days. The committee met for hours upon hours, and of course that's in a public room as well. It's been well reported on. But I do share my friend Representative Martin's concerns about having a chance for public comment. And I would respond to that by saying we've done the best that we reasonably can under these circumstances. Remember that we're operating under a court order to redraw these maps within 2 weeks. Those of you who have participated in redistricting before know that that's a process that typically takes months. Well, we had 2 weeks this time. And keep in mind that we thought we were looking at a pretty bad hurricane. Thankfully, for the most part, it missed us. But we've done a lot over the course of 2 weeks. I'm proud of what the committee's done. I'm proud of the fact that we did it in an unprecedented way, in that all of the moves of the committee were broadcast online for the public to see, to watch people redraw maps, to watch their members vote. And I personally am satisfied with the transparency of the committee. I hope you'll support the bill.
Further discussion or debate? For what purpose does the gentleman from Wake, Representative Jackson, arise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have three amendments that staff has been working on drafting since 9 o'clock last night. After the PCS was done, they have to get the language out. I understand that there might be a desire by the majority caucus to look at one of those amendments in more detail so they can decide their how they want to vote on that, and I'd like them to have the opportunity. And so they're trying to get one amendment done and then present that and then the other two in that order. So I just wanted to point that out.
Thank you. The House will stand at ease momentarily. Representative Jackson.
Yes, sir, Mr. Speaker.
We will, of course, take your amendments, and if any other member has anything they'd like to say at this time, if not, the House will go into us. If you'd like to speak, you're recognized.
Mr. Speaker, I do have like maybe 2 minutes worth of general thoughts on the process that I could go ahead and share in the effort to speed up.
You are recognized, Thank Representative
you.
Jackson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, so first thing I'd like to point out is that I believe, from my review of the order in this case, that there were at least four experts by the plaintiffs. I believe that they did many, many statistical analysis, but I don't believe this committee or the bill sponsors ever made clear how they came about picking Dr. Chen's maps to be the ones that were considered in committee. So we had to, there's been an argument that because of the time that there had to be a selection of something leading to a base map. But there were other experts, in fact, one who did many, many more maps that could have been chose from, and yet we selected Dr. Chen for some reason. On this point, I do want to point out that the legislative defendants in this case have had those Chen maps as well as the other expert data since at least March of this year. Again, I don't know why the Chen maps were chosen as the base. It was said that we picked the five best, I believe the gentleman's words were the five best Chen maps and then randomly selected from those fives. That is not exactly what we did, for we picked the five best unique Chen maps. So for each cluster, Dr. Chin did 1,000 maps. So if you'll just follow me, let's say they're ranked 1 is the best and 1,000 is the worst. If the first 800 maps, and in some of these cluster, these county groupings, there's not many ways to do them any different. If in this county grouping, the first 800 maps were the same, what we did was pick number 1, and then assume that the next 4 were all different. We picked map number, the best map, number 1, then we picked number 801, 802, 803, and 84, and then we randomly selected from that. So we, in fact, have not picked the best 5 maps. We may have selected map number 804 of the best maps. So it's important that when we talk about the maps we selected, when we use the word unique, we understand that that does not, in fact, mean the best. I also wanted to point out a little bit about the redistricting committee. I know that the court record will want to reflect this. Although we were told to do this, you know, in a nonpartisan way, there are 17 official members of the redistricting committee. 10 of those are Republican, and 7 of those are Democrat. However, in a first, the majority party has been in control while I've been here, that we have ex officio members this year, which I believe when the Democrats were in control, they might have been called floaters. And so 3 members of that. So of the committee makeup, 41% are Democrats, but with the floaters, all of which were present today for the vote, only 30% of the committee is made up of Democrats. So I wanted the record to reflect that. I thought that was important. It has been my opinion that we could start from scratch and draw these maps and not rely on a base map that was not drawn in public, and that I don't even believe was drawn for the purpose of using for this kind of base map, but instead was a statistical analysis to show how far of an outlier the actual enacted plan was. So last night when I was given a public computer to draw, I attempted to draw some districts in Columbus, Pender, Robeson County grouping. I want to state for the record, there's been a lot of questions this week about things that are going on. I want to state for the record that I reviewed the court's order before sitting down at that terminal. I relied on the traditional redistricting criteria of equal population, contiguity, county groupings and traversals, split fewer VTDs, and the court said that we may consider municipal boundaries, and so I did so. Court said we may also make reasonable efforts to not pair incumbents unduly, so I did that as well. The court instructed us not to use the 2017 districts as a starting point, and instead I use the adopted criteria, so I started with the Chin maps, as everybody else did. I conducted my drawing in full public view last night. As soon as I was assigned the computer, my mic was hot and the public had access. I was assigned observers by the majority party to watch me work. Nobody other than the current legislative employees helped me in my task. I did not review any racial data, partisan data, or election data for this county grouping before sitting down at that public terminal. Nobody ever instructed me how to draw the grouping, and today, sitting here, I have no idea the partisan consequences of my drawings. It may be that one of these amendments that I have is more beneficial to one party than the other. I wouldn't know, and I don't want to know prior to the enactment of this bill, so I'm prepared to offer a total of 3, each with its better points, I guess you would say. But I do want to be clear. I've heard many allegations this week about drawing maps. Even after the record was corrected in public, many members of this body have sent around, spread a false narrative. I take my integrity very serious, for those of you who don't know that. I am an officer of the court. I want to state unequivocally that I have at all times complied with the letter and the spirit of this court order, whether I was required to or not. And at this point, Mr. Speaker, I would need to have the amendments to move further.
I'm sorry, could the gentleman please state?
The staff still has not delivered the amendments, so I can't offer them quite yet.
Okay, just a moment. Representative Jackson, what I'll do is the chair, whenever the amendment's ready, the gentleman will be permitted to be like on first his first remarks. It won't be like speaking a second time. We'll just pick right back up where we were on the amendments there. So that we don't have those. So the chair would say at this point, this would be just on general debate on the bill before we do this. Since we're here, members who'd like to debate the bill. For our purpose, gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Richardson, rise.
To inquire of the chair.
Gentleman's recognized.
Mr. Speaker, this is a little bit of a different exercise for all of us, and I want to make sure that the court is aware that even the best of intentions and everything can result in a result that they were trying to prevent happening. And by that I mean, you know the ruling of the court, you've read it. You know what the intent of drawing these maps are. But because of the instructions of the court, neither you nor I have any idea whether or not there's a county that there's a potential that they actually made matters worse. Is that correct?
Hey, Representative Richardson, what we've done is, and I'm an attorney just like you, and I've read that court order and tried, and I can tell you that my instructions to the committee chairs and what I believe the committee chairs have done is try to comply with that as best they know to do. So what's worse, what's better, I don't know. Sometimes it's what's in the eye of the beholder, right? I mean, that's...
But further inquiry.
Gentleman's recognized.
Numbers don't lie.
Numbers are numbers.
Debate the bill.
Absolutely.
I don't know how to preserve the record or draw the court's attention that even the best of experts can make mistakes. I don't live in a vacuum. I've run for office in Cumberland County, almost countywide, so I'm familiar with the lay of the land there. I don't have to look at numbers to know that, but I can tell the court, if the court will consider this record, that there's a potential, because I don't have all the facts in front of me, but based on my past experience and just looking, I think that in this particular case, trying to correct a wrong, they've made the wrong worse. And I don't know any other way to preserve the record other than to stand up here in what I'm elected to do and argue the bill. And if we are trying to correct a wrong that the court perceived, and the court, with its good intentions, tied our hands so that we can't show that the mistake's been made, I don't know anything else to do other than put on the record that, based on my experience, and I live in a vacuum, I can't help but look up past my prior experience, it is pretty evident to me that Dr. Chen, whoever drew this thing, in his good intentions, made matters worse in that particular county. And I hope the court will look at that. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Floyd, rise?
To debate the bill, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman has the floor.
Mr. Speaker, I've spent this whole week in redistricting, this whole week, and spent a lot of time. And I felt good when the process first started. I felt good with the way the redistricting chair provided the information to us and the process that we were going to start and how we were going to do it. At the first beginning, my concern was, I'm not an attorney. I'm just simply a community relation person and an EEOC person. And what we say in the field of EEOC is what a reasonable-minded person would assume, whether or not a person has what we call sexual harassment, whether the a reasonable-minded person would assume that he or she has been sexual harassed. That's the field of work that I'm in. And when I look at the map after we got it yesterday, and having all of the things that was necessary to put the map together and to work with the staff in that short period of time trying to get everything together, I made a mistake because I didn't have all of the information and the time frame was there. And what we look at is how we can make reasonable accommodation in doing things. Reasonable. And so I looked at it and I saw where I said, okay, this is reasonable. But as I looked at it over the evening, had time to study it, in which, you know, you have a map presented and you look at it. So, and looking at it overnight, like many, like Representative Jackson mentioned, is that you have a better thought about the process and how the process moved forward with the information that was provided. So today we presented an amendment simply changing three precincts, did not do anything with the tabulation and keeping all district, all TBD whole. You know, we thought that a reasonable accommodation, as we saw that was done throughout the other 13. So I felt pretty good about that until we drew the amendment up, and the one lady mentioned something this morning about the Cumberland County people sitting or standing over. And then we had one of our representatives indicated that at his beginning that he was not a part of it, so he wanted to clarify that, which I do appreciate that. But it did not bother the other districts or the other TVD. It did not bother them. It simply bothered those two individuals that were double bunked. And not only that, even my party didn't support my amendment, which that is good, too. That is good, too. But what I ask that reasonable-minded people, when reasonable-minded people sit down together, that reasonable-minded people will come up with a reasonable-mind decision. As Representative Richardson mentioned, is that that what appeared to be good is really bad. But in my years of serving up here since 2008, and we pay, I guess in this effort, about 3 to 4 map draws, I just wonder out, as a reasonable-minded person, how can the same map appear 4 times from experts? Experts. 4 times, if you look at the common, I think it's the common, whatever it was, common cause, if you look at their plan, you look at the one in 2013, 2011, and then this one. But we pay money, and so to me, the court should have instructed, as part of the instruction, is not to use maps that already have been printed and made public. That should have been part of the decision, with a map drawer that drew, I think it was 2,000 maps. And of 2,000 maps, and you hit the computer, you come up with one that has been up 4 times. 4 times have the map of Cumberland County has been presented this way 4 times in the redistricting process. 4 times. So it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what was taking place in this process. I'm simply a human relation person, and looking at what a reasonable-minded person would assume, and what a reasonable-minded person would assume in this map of Cumberland County, is that it doesn't pass the smell test. It doesn't pass the smell test. But the matter was voted down, and I said to the person then that I would not bring it up on the House floor. But I don't use the talk on the House floor. I usually try to make you talk shorter. But today, It just bothers me when I see what has taken place. And I came in from when we began, I was wholehearted, ready to support this bill up and down, sideways, as others did not. I came prepared to support this redistricting plan because I thought it was fair, just, equitable, and reasonable. But I have to say to my colleagues, whichever way you go, I take my seat. I cannot support it as it is today presented. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose, gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, rise.
To see if Representative Lewis will yield for a question.
Representative Lewis, gentleman, yield.
Yes, sir.
Yields.
Representative Lewis, can you explain for the body why the House Committee on Redistricting ultimately decided to randomly draw, using the criteria the committee used, a random chin map in order to develop our baseline map from which to work?
Thank you for the question, Representative Hall, and it is a kind of unusual way, maybe the folks that are listening in, how we go back and forth here, but we only get two times to speak on each bill. So thank you for the chance to clarify that. While the gentleman from Wake was correct that there was more than one expert that the plaintiffs used, Dr. Chin's maps have been used by the plaintiffs and by the court in both Pennsylvania and in North Carolina. So we felt like he had a very good reputation. And then if you actually look at the opinion, Dr. Chin's name is used 408 times in a 357 page opinion. So it was very clear to me that the court took great stock in the work that Dr. Chin had done. So that's why the Chin maps were used as the base map, as a starting point.
Representative Jackson, the chair is in possession of the gentleman's amendments. It does appear those have been uploaded to the dashboard, and the chair would also point out for members that the on the dashboard are also the maps as well, if members would like to see those. So the chair would call up Chair calls up amendment House ABK 49. The clerk will read.
Representative Jackson moves to amend the bill on page 3, lines 26 through 28, by rewriting those lines to read.
Representative Jackson, the gentleman is recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. When looking at the Columbus Pender Robinson cluster.
Mr. Speaker, the point of order.
Representative Hall, would the gentleman please state his point of order?
Because I think it's probably going to help the debate go a little bit quicker, I don't see the map for Representative Jackson's amendment on my dashboard.
And just a moment, we'll see if that's been uploaded at this point. The way to look, and we'll need to confirm if that map's on there, but just to walk members through how to do this, when members are at their dashboard and looking at the amendment that's before the members, you'll see it has the number, then it says history, and in REL, do members see that on the top of that, or related documents? Clicking the REL or related documents should then open up a series of documents. And apparently when I say that, Siri comes on my phone. When you open that up, there are some documents there. Checking with the clerk to see if that's The clerk just informed the chair there was a technical glitch getting there, but that's how it so we'll just go with it. Gentleman from Wake will just spend just a moment on this. Just by way of explanation, members, as you see the bill, for example, if you go back to the bill and back out of there,
and then go back and see the related documents. You can see all the statistics, see all of the maps, all of those. So that's for members here on the floor, as well as the public who are watching online and can see these documents. So Chair was informed there was a technical issue with uploading the map. So to have the visualization, just we'll hold up a minute.
Oh, yeah, I don't think the maps, well, the maps they gave me don't have the statistics. I have to look them up somewhere. All right, they haven't sent emails to us.
Yeah, I think I've got
all the records. Yeah, that's all you can do, like a lawyer's file.
Okay, members, ask everyone to check their dashboard, go to related documents. Do members see three things there? One says A455 Columbus Jackson 2 Stat Pack Grouping Map, then H1020BD MBC 7203. How many do not see that when they go to related documents? Okay, how many do see that? Okay, so it must be there. So I will walk. I want to walk through, members, how to find this.
Mr. Speaker, could you repeat the last?
Yes, ma'am. Let me try to walk members through it. I have the benefit of the clerk here to show me some of these things. So, click on the amendment or the current item, and then when you do that, you should have it. You should see where it says H1020ABK49, the title of the amendment. Any members having difficulty following that?
Mr. Speaker, I'm not having difficulty following you, but it's not coming up on my dashboard.
Members who can't see it, close dashboard and reopen it. This is probably the first time that I've ever tried to give advice on anything related to a computer, so. Which members are, if members who need some technical assistance could please keep their hands up, okay? And again, try to close it and reopen it. Representative Cleveland, I didn't even know you knew how to operate a computer. What? Back in seats 119 and 120, Representatives Adcock and Turner needed help. Representative Cleveland needs help. Who else needs assistance? Representative Moore, does the lady need require assistance?
Just to ask the Speaker a question.
Ladies recognized. Just members, we are still trying to conduct business. For what purpose? Ladies recognized for an inquiry to the chair.
Well, I was just a bit confused. You said 7203. Ours are all different numbers, but they may be the same net map. Some are 7199. Mine's 7204. It may all be the same map, but I was just making the inquiry. Or 7202.
If the clerk advises the chair that if members will refresh, the names will come up. It looks like, I want to make sure I'm clear on the record, the map that we are talking about right now for this amendment. Representative Jackson, the gentleman's understanding that would be 7202. Is that what the gentleman believes on the dashboard is the...
Mr. Speaker, they printed out a copy last night when I drew the map. It's not It just refers to my amendment. It doesn't have that information.
Mr. Speaker, we have 7202.
Okay.
Okay, here it is. Okay, this is the, members, it's going to be 7202. I believe this is Columbus, Pender, Robinson. Robinson is Jackson 2. Representative Jackson, does that match with your printout, sir?
Yes, sir, it's Jackson 2. They actually had to write it. It's on my map, yes, sir.
Okay. So the map that the gentleman is debating right now, of course, see the stat pack with the VTD description, but if you would like to see for members that want to see a visualization of the map and the precincts, it is Columbus, Pender, Robinson, Jackson 2. It is at the top of your heading, H1020-BD-NBC-7202. There's no other questions about this. The gentleman from Wake, Representative Jackson, has the floor to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The changes made by the committee to the base chin map, in my opinion, were way more VTDs than they needed to do in order to unpair the incumbents. A total of 12 VTDs were moved in order to make the map as you see in House Bill 1020. Specifically, I believe the changes, the amendment the committee made are clear partisan gerrymanders that restore an invalid feature of the 2017 map. And I understand this is going to be hard for many of you who don't have all these maps in front of them, but this is the original struck down 2018 map. And I'm going to talk about it a little bit. It is on the dashboard at some place. I'm going to start by referencing page 70 of Dr. Cooper's expert report, where he states, quote, "The Democratic areas of Chadbourne are cracked from the Democratic voters in and around Whiteville, helping to ensure that neither House District 46 nor House District 16 would elect a Democrat." End quote. Page 149 of the court's judgment. The court found that this county grouping was an extreme partisan gerrymander. On page 142, the court quoted, quote, "The cracking of Democratic voters across House District 16 and 46, end quote. On page 152 of the court judgment, you can see where Dr. Chin found that in almost all of his simulations would produce two Democratic-leaning districts, while the enacted House plan produces just one district in the grouping, end quote. Dr. Mattingly, another expert for the plaintiffs, testified that Democrats in House Districts 16 and 46 are cracked and packed. On page 154, quote, "The court finds that the analysis of plaintiffs' experts independently and together demonstrate that this county grouping is an extreme partisan gerrymander," end quote. All of these analyses, all of the things the court focused on in finding this was an extreme partisan gerrymandering, the one thing they pointed out as the fatal flaw in the map was the cracking and packing of Democratic voters in Chadbourne from the Democratic voters in Whiteville. So, again, this is the map, and you can see, I'm going to put my mic down in a minute. This is Whiteville. This is Chadbourne. You can see where they have been divided. Again, cracking and packing are the court's language, and I believe are maybe scientific terms, at least in the redistricting arena. So I'm not, those are not my descriptions. Those are the court's. This is the map the committee came up with. Again, you will see Whiteville in blue. You will see Chadbourne in pink. And you will see the effort that was made to draw a map that divided the Democratic voters in Whiteville from the Democratic voters in Chadburn. Again, in order to accomplish that, 12 VTDs had to be moved. So, but the first amendment you have before you is what's called the Jackson 2 Amendment. So this, I was able to unpair the two incumbents by only moving 5 VTDs. The committee moved 12, I moved 5. I was able to keep Tabor City whole, just as was done in the committee, because it was said that keeping municipalities together was important. I was able to keep Whiteville whole, again, because I was told that was important. I did, however, in order to do that, have to split 2 VTDs, P25 and P26, to keep Tabor City whole. And you'll see that that looks like a small finger, and that's to get the people in Tabor City who were not in the original VTD. So I made sure to focus on what the committee said to focus on and kept Tabor City whole. I compared it to the compactness scores to the committee substitute that was adopted. I was better in one of the four, I guess the four scores. I was better on the REIT score in House District 46 on compactness, but was 1 point differential in the other three scores. So if the body is concerned about keeping municipalities whole, I was able to accomplish that goal, moving fewer VTDs and avoiding the fatal flaw that the court has always already told us of splitting Whiteville from Chadburn. I was able to do that rather easily without looking at any other information. So I would move for adoption of the Jackson Amendment A1.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, rise?
To debate the amendment.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I actually had a lot of involvement inside the committee room with this particular map. Representative Hawkins stood there the entire time that I helped draw the map on the public terminals. There were other members of the minority party there at various times. Representative Stevens worked quite a bit on this map. And so this was something that we literally stood in front of a computer and tried to draw working together. And that's what we did. One of us would say, well, what about doing it this way? And then the other would, a member of the Democrat Party might say, well, what about doing it that way? And we did that until we got to a point where we thought we had drawn just about the best map that we could using the court's criteria. That was yesterday. Well, Representative Stevens hung around last night at the public terminal, and then she drew a map that everybody, I think even my friends on the Democratic side, agree was a better map. And so then we supported that and thought that we had done the best thing that we humanly possibly could without a computer algorithm to change the chin map the least amount possible while also complying with the court's criteria. I now believe that we have done that in House Bill 1020 as it's currently written. I believe the amendment that you have before you is absolutely a violation of the court's order, and I'll explain why. Number one, in this grouping in House Bill 1020, the one that's currently in House Bill 1020, we don't split any precincts, we don't split any municipalities at all, and we protect incumbents while also keeping the map compact. You can visually compare the two maps and tell that the one that we have in 1020 now is more compact. And as Representative Jackson noted a moment ago, apparently the map in House Bill 1020 scores better on 3 of the 4 scores that we have before us. In every way, the map that's in House Bill 1020 is better than the proposed map before you. If you look at where Representative Jones lives, and you can't, let me pull up the map on my computer. If you look at right where Representative Jones lives in this map, you may think, well, we could just change that precinct right around Tabor City where Representative Jones lives. But the problem is, that's splitting a massive precinct right in half. The line that runs right under B. Jones is not a precinct line. That is a line that's been drawn that actually splits a precinct. One of the things that the court told us to avoid, one of those things that the court said the map makers shall make reasonable efforts to draw legislative districts without splitting precincts. To the extent we possibly can, we shall do that. This map, on its face, immediately, objectively, goes against one of the map's criteria. Now, those are factors. I absolutely understand that. But we should do everything we possibly can to follow each one of the court's criteria, because they didn't tell us one of the criteria more important than the others. And the map that we currently have does that. The precinct Representative Jones lives in has roughly 6,000 people who live in it. And here's the conundrum that you get when you start trying to draw this map. And my friend Representative Hawkins, who stood there while we were drawing this, agrees with me at least on this point. All of the precincts around there, they vary wildly in population. You've got Representative Jones' precinct of 6,000. You've got a precinct right up the road that has roughly 800 people. And so it creates a problem when you're trying to keep municipalities whole. If you want to keep Tabor City whole and you want to keep Whiteville whole, it creates a problem in trying to draw this district and keeping the precincts whole. We've created a map that keeps Representative Graham's district completely the same as it is. We did not touch District 47. We also protected Representative Jones and Representative Smith and split not a single municipality nor a single precinct. The map in House Bill 1020, as objective as you can get in these matters, is better than the map put forth by Representative Jackson. And I actually believe that if we pass this amendment and give this map to the court, at least as to this grouping with this amended map, absolutely would be a violation of the court's order. Please vote against the amendment.
For what purpose, gentleman from Durham, Representative Hawkins, rise. Further discussion, further debate on Amendment A1. If not, question before the House is the adoption of Amendment A1, sent forward by Representative Jackson. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote.
Yes on the amendment. Representative
Ball, wish to record. Representative Floyd, Representative Montgomery. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 50 having voted in the affirmative and 60 in the negative, the amendment fails. Representative Jackson is going to be recognized to send forth Amendment AST 83 B1. The clerk will read.
Representative Jackson moves to amend the bill on page 3, lines 26 to 28, by rewriting the lines to read.
And members, of course, can see the verbiage of the amendment when they locate it. And the group and the map is on the related documents as well. Do members see the related map?
Mr. Speaker.
What purpose, Jim?
I wonder if the Speaker would, there's a logical order to these things, and so I would, with due respect, I would ask that the Speaker consider doing ABK 50, volume, version 1 first.
Let's make sure it's ready. The clerk could advise, I think we uploaded them in the order they were handed up, so let me just make sure that data is up there, but I'll take them whatever order the gentleman wants. We'll temporarily displace that amendment, and we're going to look to see if the other amendment has been uploaded. The court believes it has. So that amendment, have the sheet, please.
I can't see my dashboard.
Gentlemen is recognized now to send Amendment ABK 50. The clerk will read.
Representative Jackson moves to amend the bill on page 3, lines 26 through 28, by rewriting the lines to read.
Gentlemen's recognized to debate that amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a very short amendment. You can see that from the text of the amendment. Again, it only moves 5 VTDs. Again, I will point out that the committee, a map that they decided to approve, had to move 12 VTVs. In this particular map, as Representative Hall said, it was, I believe he was really focusing on the split precinct. That's a very large precinct, by the way, and I have no knowledge. We're, apparently the staff doesn't have the ability to tell me if this precinct has been split since 2010. Shows on the map that in 2010 it had 6,500 people living in it. That's a pretty large precinct. But this map, this version keeps that precinct whole, as Representative Hall discussed. It does, however, in order to do that, have to split 124 people from Tabor City out of the map, and it splits 11 citizens of Whiteville in order to accomplish that zero VTD split. So if you prefer the version that Representative Hall mentioned about not splitting VTDs, I have that for you as well. Again, zero VTD split in Columbus County, zero VTD split in Pender County. And again, as you can see on this map, I avoided the fatal flaw of splitting Whiteville from Chadburn. So again, Whiteville and Chadburn are in the same district. What the court, what multiple experts told us was evidence of the extreme partisan gerrymander and the cracking and packing that went on in this county grouping. I was able to avoid that with only moving 5 VTDs, splitting 0 VTDs, and I believe on the compactness rankings, I was better on 2 and off a point down on 2. I'd ask for your support.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, rise?
To debate the amendment. The
gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And members, I won't go through everything I went through just now because this map presents a similar issue. We're again splitting municipalities. I think that instead of going down a technical argument route, step back and think about the way the average citizen views gerrymandering. And this is the very thing that the average citizen thinks about when they think about gerrymandering. People want to know that communities of interest, municipalities, and other neighborhoods will be kept together because they have common interests. And that's what folks expect to see. And when they see a city like Whiteville or a city like Tabor City, not exactly major metropolitan areas, wonderful places, I'm sure, but they expect cities like that to be kept together. And when you try to split them, that is a gerrymander in the eyes of the average citizen. Again, the map before you in House Bill 1020 does not split a single municipality. It does not split a single voting precinct. It complies with the order, and this amendment would not comply with the court's order. Again, as I said in committee, if a better map can be drawn that follows the court's criteria, please bring it to me. That's what I asked in committee yesterday. Thus far, we've not been presented with a single map that refrains from splitting a municipality or splitting a precinct, and therefore, I believe that the map that's in House Bill 1020 most complies with the court's order, and I ask you to vote no on this amendment.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Durham, Representative Hawkins, rise.
To ask Representative Jackson a question.
Representative Jackson, is the gentleman yield?
Representative Jackson, I think Fields. You realize I was involved in this one quite intimately with Chairman Hall as well. And with this particular precinct, it seems like you kept Whiteville pretty together. Is that correct? When you were Jackson 3?
Yes, I can't remember the exact number of residents in Whiteville. I think it's over 5,000. It could be over 6,000. But I was able to do this with only moving 11 Whiteville residents out of the district. And I did that solely to accomplish not splitting a VTD.
Further discussion, further debate on the amendment? If not, the question before the House is the adoption of Amendment A3, sent forward by Representative Jackson. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 51 having voted in the affirmative and 60 in the negative, the amendment fails. Representative Jackson, we're now going to go back to the amendment that was called earlier. I believe that was AST 83. It's on the dashboard. The gentleman from Wake is recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, this third amendment is actually the first one that I drafted. It was pretty easy to draft because it is, in fact, the random one that was chosen with the lottery balls. It is, in fact, the chin map. As you will see, unfortunately, in this drawing is that Representative Smith and Representative Jones are, in fact, double bunked on it. I think you see from today and what you've heard about what happened in committee is that this is a very difficult county grouping to handle. And unfortunately, in this version, if you're not willing to comply with the court, split a VTD, or you're not willing to split a municipality, and you want to comply with the court order that said it was cracking and packing to separate White Bull from Chadburn, then there's only one option you have left, and that is just to adopt the chin map with the double bunking. This particular map, the chin map, is better on compactness scores for House District 46, but again, 1 point off, I believe, on compactness scores on House District 16. There are no split municipalities in the chin map. There are zero split VTDs in the chin map. The chin map, of course, has House District 47, as it has been in all these other maps. I never made a change to that. What the chin map does do is keep Whiteville and Chadburn together in the same district. And on that, I wanted to read what the court wrote about incumbency protection, because that is the way it was phrased. We got to protect these incumbents. And, of course, that is not the goal of nonpartisan redistricting. What the court said was, as far as incumbency protection, that we may take reasonable efforts to not pair incumbents. And they based that on a quote from the House and the Senate redistricting chairs. The House chair said, incumbency protection was simply saying that map makers may take reasonable efforts to not pair incumbents unduly. Senator Heiss said the committee adopted criteria pledging to make reasonable efforts not to double bunk incumbents. And then the court in its order on page 355 said the map makers may take reasonable efforts to not pair incumbents unduly. So then it comes down to what is a difficult and oftentimes a jury question in a court of law. What is reasonable? Is it reasonable to crack and pack the voters of Chadburn and the voters of Whiteville so that Representative Jones and Representative Smith are not in the same district? Is it reasonable to move 12 VTDs in what is clearly a partisan gerrymander in order to protect Representative Jones and Representative Smith? Or is it reasonable to recognize that a lot of people worked on this cluster and just couldn't figure out a way to make it work, and therefore the double bunking, as I will mention, a double bunking is in House 1020. Representative Grange and Representative Davis tried to work out a double bunking. They were not able to do that, and so Representative Grange withdrew her objection to the double bunking. And that's simply because some things you just can't fix.
Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose? The lady from New Hanover, Representative Grange, rise.
To make a comment on what Representative Jackson just said.
Well, the gentleman presently has the floor, so the way...
I can ask him a question, sir. If he'll yield.
I yield.
He yields.
Representative Jackson, you've just mentioned that I withdrew my request to change the map due to incumbency because we could not come up with a viable solution. Where did you make that determination from?
Well, I was in. Thank you for the question, Representative Grange. I was in committee yesterday, observing. I wasn't paying a lot of attention. In your county grouping, they asked each of the incumbents if they were planning to run for re-election. Representative Davis said he was, and I believe your response was that you were planning to run for another office, but you didn't think that that mattered, that you believed you were the incumbent in that district and had a right to be whatever. I don't remember the last couple of words you used. And so I believe you and Representative Davis went to terminals and worked on things. You came back and said that you withdrew your objection.
Follow up, Mr. Speaker.
Can I yield to additional question?
I do, Mr.
Speaker.
Were you party to any of the discussion that any of us had about that? Because I don't understand, sir, where I withdrew my objection, but I withdrew my objection for a different reason.
Representative Grange, I certainly was not a part of any of your and Representative Davis's conversations. I know that you raised an objection based on your incumbency and that you thought, even though you had announced that you were running for a different office, you thought it still should be considered, and that you and Representative Davis worked, and that you withdrew your objection. And if I said anything different, I apologize.
Gentleman has floor to continue debating the amendment.
But this county grouping we worked on for a long, long, long time. A lot of different people were consulted. Representative Charles Graham was consulted by phone, and then he decided to come up here since that his district was apparently being changed. So he came to the committee and observed. I don't know that he actually participated in any drawing, but he certainly observed yesterday and today. And, you know, we just, with reasonable efforts, we just couldn't fix it. And so if you don't want to, if you don't want to split a VTD, and you don't want to split a municipality, and you want to comply with the court order not to crack and pack Chadburn and Whiteville, then the CHIN map does all that. And so that's why I offered it as the third alternative, because really I did not want to double bunk anybody in this chamber. And so I made an effort on my own to try to fix it two other ways. This body in its wisdom has decided to reject both of those amendments. And so now I offer the third, which is the CHIN map.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, rise?
Debate the amendment.
Gentleman is recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, the first thing that I will point out and make sure that everybody understands who was not in the House Redistricting Committee is that we made every effort regarding incumbency protection. We listened to members who were double bunked throughout this. We listened to both Republican and Democratic members. I don't know this off the top of my head because I hadn't really thought about it till now, but I bet that we ended up making changes for more Democratic members than we did for Republican members. And so that was what we did in this map with Representative Jones and Representative Smith. Representative Jones lives pretty close to the boundary of the CHIN map, but as I've previously discussed, his precinct has a lot of people in there. And so when you put his precinct in that map, it throws the balance out of whack between the two districts. And that's why it was such a complicated map. Again, for both Republican and Democratic members working together in front of a computer, it was difficult for us to fix. And we worked on it for several minutes, and I know Representative Stevens worked on it later on. And the map that you have in House Bill 1020 is ultimately the best map in taking into consideration the court's order that we could humanly draw without a computer algorithm. Members, I also think it's important to take a look at the old map, and because in the allegation that somehow this is cracking and packing, this district looks nothing at all like Representative Jones's old district. The Robison split, I'll call it, is actually inverted. He has the opposite side of Robison County as what he would have had before. In no way does this district even resemble the prior district. And I know Representative Jackson made the comment that this was clearly a partisan gerrymander. And as Representative Jackson has said before, I too am an officer of the court, and I take exception to that because I worked on this map right beside a member of your party, Representative Hawkins, who I've enjoyed getting to know on that committee. And he and I did the best we could with the information that we had in front of us. And the business about cracking and packing Chadburn and Whiteville, Representative Jackson, a moment ago, I had to ask somebody where Chadburn even is on this map. I have no idea where Chadburn is. I wrote a C where somebody told me they thought that it is. I do take exception that this is a clearly a partisan gerrymander because it's clearly not. It's worked on by members of both parties in consultation with one another. And again, this is the final amendment as far as I'm aware. I've asked members, please bring forth, if you have a better map on this grouping, please bring it forth. If you have a map that doesn't split municipalities, precincts, and it also protects incumbents, show me that. The only map that we've been able to come up with that does that is the map that's in House Bill 1020. And therefore, I believe that to be the only map that's going to comply with the court's order. So we must vote against this amendment, and I hope you'll vote no. Thank you.
All right, for what purpose does the lady from New Hanover, Representative Grange, rise?
To debate the amendment.
The lady has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I am asking that you vote no on this amendment because it did not adequately take incumbency into account. We do have two members that are double bunked. And I will say that I withdrew my objection to the map that I was double bunked with Representative Davis for the reason that in the Covington case there was precedent set that an incumbent member that was not running for re-election, that map was thrown out. It was Representative Larry Bell. That map was thrown out because it was drawn to take incumbency into account when he had already announced that he was not going to be running for re-election. And that's why I withdrew my objection, not because there was not an adequate solution that could be reached. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Catawba, Representative Adams, rise?
To ask the amendment sponsor a question.
Representative Jackson, does the gentleman yield?
Yes, sir.
He yields.
Representative Jackson, did I understand you to say that you drew this map?
Well, staff did. I was sitting beside the Susan site started, but yes, sir.
Did they draw the map for your instruction?
Gentleman, yield additional question.
Did they draw the map to your instructions?
As far as I know, Representative Adams, if I could explain, I asked them to draw me the base chin map for this district without any changes, and that's what they drew.
So this map was drawn.
Okay, just a moment. Gentlemen, yield to additional question.
Yes, sir.
Gentlemen, yield. Yes.
So this map was drawn to your satisfaction. Am I correct?
This map complied with my instructions to duplicate the chin map with no changes. And so to the extent you're asking me, am I satisfied that our very overworked staff this week complied with my instructions? I am. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Representative Jackson, gentleman that wishes to debate the amendment a second time.
I wanted to ask Representative Hall if he would yield for a question.
Representative Hall, gentleman yield?
Absolutely.
He yields.
Representative Hall, I believe I mentioned this a little earlier in my debate, but it's my understanding that for each county grouping, five unique maps were selected based on their scores. And then a lottery ball or a lottery ball machine was used to pick one of those five in a random fashion. Is that correct?
That's correct.
May I ask an additional question, Mr.
Chairman? Yield to additional question?
I yield.
He yields.
And so it would be fair to say that those five maps, those five unique maps were the best five scoring unique maps that Dr. Chen drew for this county grouping. Is that correct?
That's correct, based upon the criteria the committee put forth, yes.
Ask an additional question.
Gentlemen, yield to an additional question?
Yes.
He yields.
Once it was discovered that the Chen map, the randomly generated Chen map that was generated, double-bunked incumbents, was there any thought giving to just moving to the second randomly generated map to see if it, too, double-bunked incumbents in this county grouping?
No, Representative Jackson, and the reason why is the committee sought to be consistent. For example, when we pulled the Mecklenburg County map and many of your members were double-bunked, it would have been very easy to go back in and say, well, no, we want a different map because too many members are double-bunked. And so, no, we didn't do that, and to my knowledge, the only map that we did that for was the Franklin Nash map that actually the map that came out via random selection was literally the exact same map that we currently use.
Thank you, Representative Hall. Mr. Speaker, if I could be recognized to speak a second time.
The gentleman's recognized to debate a second time.
So I know that y'all don't have all the maps, and so I just want to make very clear that it's very easy. You don't have to be a map genius or somebody experienced to see that this is the struck down map. This is the partisan gerrymander, extreme partisan gerrymander, again, that cracks and packs voters in Whiteville and Chadburn. As you can see, the pink is Representative Smith's district, the purple is Representative Jones' district, and the orange is Representative Graham's district. So you'll see Jones come up here. This is the map that this committee and this body has now put in there. Again, you will see Representative Smith's district looks almost identical. Representative Jones' district is almost identical here through this county. But in Robeson County, instead of going around this side of Robeson County to make the loop, it goes around this side of the county. But the partisan gerrymander from Whiteville to Chadburn is identical in this map. I am confident the court will strike this map down as a partisan gerrymander. I'd ask you to vote for Chen's amendment.
Further discussion, further debate? Not the question for the House. Is the adoption of Amendment A2 sent forward by Representative Jackson? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 50 having voted in the affirmative and 61 in the negative. The amendment fails. What purpose does the lady from Guilford, Representative Harrison, rise?
To debate the proposal.
The lady has floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, I was hoping to stand up in support of the legislation had we passed the first of Representative Jackson's amendments, because I do believe that that is a problem, that we are in violation of the court order. Even though I now also want to extend my thanks and gratitude to Chair Lewis for being mostly accommodating. There were a number of suggestions that we made that he took into account in establishing the process for reviewing these maps, and I want to give him due gratitude because I appreciate that. I think that fundamentally, we actually, I mean, the process might have been considered slightly flawed because fundamentally a lot of us thought we could have started from scratch rather than using the 10 map. And as Representative Jackson said, there were other experts that also drew map alternatives that we also didn't really consider. But one of the main flaws in this process is the lack of public input. And I really appreciate the accommodation for the Monday hearing with the joint hearing with the Senate. We will have already voted on this proposal without that that critical public input. And I happened to sort of review the public comments that Ms. Churchill has been sending us regularly, summarizing all the comments that have been given to us through the portal. There seem to be three main complaints. One, to not make any effort to pair incumbents. The other is that we need to set up a bipartisan, nonpartisan redistricting process, whether that be a commission or something else. But the third was the lack of public input. And the court's opinion was pretty strong about that. While maybe the map drawing was in the public view, we actually didn't have any chance to get some input from the public as these specific separate maps were being drawn, and I think that's a flaw. But so I'm going to have to be a no, and I'm sorry I'm going to be a no, because I really was prepared to vote for this map had we fixed the biggest problem, which I think is the Columbus Pender cluster. Thank you. Excuse me. Grouping.
Thank you. Further discussion or debate? At this time, the House will stand at ease till the Speaker returns. Have to keep you go. Have to keep everybody's attention.
I voted no by accident on the
For what purpose does the lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Belk, arise?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to be recorded as a yay on HB 1020A3 Jackson Amendment, please.
So ordered.
I mean, excuse me, HB 1020A2 as a yay.
For the purpose of the court reporter, Representative Belk will be recorded as an aye on Amendment 2 sent forth by Representative Jackson. For what purpose does the Representative from Harnett, Representative Lewis, arise?
Mr. Speaker, may I speak very briefly a second time?
You are recognized to speak a second time on the bill.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, I just wanted to make sure that the members of this chamber understood that I agree with a lot of what Representative Harrison just said. The public comment and the advice from the public is important in every area of policy that we do. I would just remind people, and this is not done as a complaint, it's simply done to try to make sure folks understand that we received this court order last Tuesday, and we were ordered to do everything in the open to not start any kind of process. We were even concerned what kind of planning processes we could do outside of the full public view, complicating that. And again, this is not a complaint, it's just a statement. Complicating that was Hurricane Dorian, which was lots of us actually did get hurt by that storm, not nearly as bad as Florence, but it was that storm took a toll. But once we were able to meet on this Monday with the danger of the storm behind us, we have kept the public portal for comments open for 64 full hours. And I misspoke earlier when I said there were over 5,000 unique views. The staff has confirmed with me there were actually over 10,000 unique views of folks that watched this process online. So I just want to state also for the record that the public input is important. This is actually my second copy. My other one is I left in the committee room. But again, much of the public comment was about how to draw maps in the future or about what method should be used overall, not how to comply with a 2-week court order when almost half that time was taken up with a threat from a storm. So I just think it's very important that the members of this chamber know, and anyone else that is perhaps listening, that the public input is very valuable. It's listened to, and sometimes there's just not enough time, you know. And this is the last thing that I'll say. I've been doing this for a long time, probably too long. I think most people would agree to that. But what we've done in the past to set up the statewide public, to get the statewide public input, that takes an enormous amount of work and time. It's coordination with the community colleges. It's coordinations with all these sites around. It's calling members and say, can you go to City X and conduct these things? We were even scared that we didn't really have the authority to do that prior to the committee meeting on Monday. This thing has become so frustrating. I was talking to the speaker. I said, do we call a meeting for Thursday? I think the date was the 5th. Or for Friday, he said no, because then you're going to be accused of having a meeting in the middle of the storm when folks couldn't come to. It's been a damned if you do, damned if you don't thing. The public input is important. The transparency is important. And it's all a part of this product. And it's why we ought to support this bill.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Haywood, Representative Queen, rise?
To speak on the bill.
Gentleman has four.
I will agree with Representative Lewis that there was more effort made to make this transparent than most anything we've done around here on such issues in the past. I don't agree that this was the best faith effort, simply because of this last grouping that we have been discussing. Because we clearly, you do not have to be very astute to know that what we are doing in this bill is partisan gerrymandering for a benefit of a member, which is what we were told not to do. So rather than my father had a great saying, it's better to do nothing than something that ain't worth a flap. And we chose not to do that. So we are really doing on one of the 14 groupings a partisan gerrymandering. The others are all, I think, make a good best faith effort. Not in a perfect system, not with enough time, but we got it done. We got it done in good faith, with exception of this. But this is for all the people, and this one needs to be right too. And for that reason, I am voting against this bill, even though 13 of the 14 parts, I think, had good faith in them. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Durham, Representative Hawkins, rise?
Mr. Speaker, just to let you know that I'm going to put forth an amendment to invoke Rule 24.1B, subsection B. And so the amendment will come forth. They are preparing it, so I just want to let you know so that it can be in the queue.
Could the gentleman please state the amendment? The chair just had difficulty hearing what the gentleman said. I apologize.
It is Rule 24.1B, subsection B.
Is the gentleman asking to divide the question on an amendment? Is that what the gentleman is asking for?
That's the way that I have to put it forward. I have to amend this PCS, this bill that's in front of us, and ask that it be divided. And I like to divide it each by grouping by grouping, county grouping by county grouping, and to have an individual vote on each. Since, as we well know, my Representative Hall, Representative Warren, and many of the others, as well as those on our side, had a really good feeling about how all of this came together. As Representative Queen just said, we worked incredibly together, but there's some disagreement there. And so to make sure that this process is as fair and as open as it was, I felt incredible about taking part in it. This is an unprecedented piece of transparency that the North Carolina General Assembly has undertaken. And to continue in that vein, I think it would be absolutely reasonable for us to invoke division so that we can go county grouping by county grouping to show exactly how everyone felt about each one of these county groupings as we were going through the committee process.
Representative Hawkins, chair would like to do, the chair will put the gentleman's, what the chair will need to do, and given the nature of what we're in, instead of just making a snap decision, the chair wants to look at this and just make sure how the mechanics would work, because on the division of a question, if all things pass but one doesn't for some reason, then my understanding is the whole bill at that point fails, unless there's so what we would need to do in order to entertain that is the chair wants to consult with the clerk for a few moments and look at that and then come back. So what I'll do is hold the gentleman's motion is properly before the body, and so what the chair would ask is to give proper time to look at this. Just we'll vote on it. We'll bring it back momentarily. So we'll do that. I'm going to displace the gentleman, Representative Hawkins. Chair is going to simply just displace the gentleman's motion for now. We'll entertain it, but wants to make, we're in new territory on some of this, so the chair wants to make an educated and informed decision. So we displace it, but we'll certainly hear it.
Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose, gentleman from Cumberland?
Mr. Speaker, inquiry of the chair.
Gentleman's recognized.
If the motion is considered and we do the 14 grouping, am I to understand that we are going to the debate the 14 individually?
We would vote on the 14 individually, and then I don't know this for sure if we would then have to have one final vote on the bill on top of that, or if the 14 votes themselves would constitute the bill. There's a lot of mechanics, and the chair simply wants to determine exactly how that's done. That's not something we normally do in the ordinary course. Generally, we don't divide the question, but to make sure it's informed, the chair is going to find out what exactly the rule is on this, but it did report back.
Follow up, Mr. Speaker. Don't want to belabor the matter, but
just a moment. Members.
I would
ask that you look to my left, and you'll see these ladies sitting here beside the sergeant-at-arms. They're court reporters, and they are transcribing what is being said. So when we get a lot of background noise, I would imagine it makes it a little difficult for them to possibly take some of that down. So what I would ask is to please try to keep the conversations down so that The folks taking the transcription can hear the member who is recognized and the chair for those purposes. And the chair appreciates the body's indulgence. Yes, sir. Mr. Speaker. Yes, sir. Gentleman's recognized.
Mr. Speaker, I understand that the question that has been put forth by the gentleman, but I do think that it can simply be the question can be put forward whether or not we want to entertain his motion, because to be honest with you, to go through 14, and I got 15 minutes on each 14. As a representative, I can speak 15 minutes the first time. Is that correct, Mr. Speaker?
If the Spirit so moves you.
And then I can be recognized to speak the second time for 5 minutes.
It would be each question would each individual question would be debatable on its own. That's the chair. Yes.
Follow it, Mr. Speaker.
Yeah, I'm recognized.
So do you see, Mr. Speaker, where I'm driving at now? I mean, we have gone through this, for the last week. And I understand the gentleman's motion, but I think just to vote on the whole thing at one time, voted up or down, and then address it from the Senate part, we individually is just too much, Mr. Speaker.
Noted, Representative Floyd. For what purpose does the lady from Surrey, Representative Stevens, rise?
Sorry, to speak on the bill.
Let me, the lady's recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And, okay. And I put my light on and cut it off several times because I was part of drawing the Columbus-Robeson change. The map that we approved originally actually invaded Representative Graham's territory. And we invaded that territory with his consent and permission. Then we were advised that that was incorrect, that we couldn't take a single member district and remove part of it to make things better, worse, or whatever. And that's a lot of the argument I'm hearing today is we could have done that and made a lot of them better or worse. So what we did overnight was go back and remove that portion of it, and it became a math issue. So for people here today to say that we did a partisan gerrymandering greatly offends me because I know nothing about the politics of those two counties. All I know is we were talking to the various members of that district and saying, what are the communities of interest? How do we keep them together and still do the math? We looked at the river. We looked at another area that might have made some difference, but it was too close to cutting off districts. We played with the math. It was a math problem. And by the time we got finished, there really wasn't another alternative unless we were going to double bunk these parties. And we looked at all of this without partisan data. So I was a little offended at times when Representative Jackson was saying, we just did a gerrymandering. We just did a partisan gerrymandering. I don't know about him. I saw some other people in that committee room looking at partisan information, but I never saw any of the Republicans looking at any partisan information. I didn't look at any partisan information. But I did see some people doing it. So I will tell you, this was not a partisan gerrymandering from my perspective as someone who is actually drawing the map that's been approved.
For what purpose the lady from Mecklenburg? Representative Cunningham, rise.
To speak to the bill, Mr. Speaker.
Ladies recognized.
Thank you. I was there for the redistricting process almost all the time, and I thought it went well. And I do take offense to that individuals looked at partisan information to make those decisions. And really, it wasn't us making those decisions. It was staff in there, and the staff knew the VTDs. They knew the districts probably better than most of us in this room because they've been doing it for years. They know what's in each little VTD or precinct, whatever you want to call it. So they know how to move them around to make the district make up and be what percentage it need to be. They know what the mean is. They know what an outlier is. And we're standing in here, 14 clusters we worked on, 14 clusters we got done well, and we have one outlier, just one outlier. That's about to break it all down. One outlier. I hear y'all talking. We had one outlier, one district, to get ready to take this whole thing down. One. We did 13. Yes, I'm in New Mecklenburg. We went up there and we stayed up there about 45 minutes. We had the most double bunk, maybe the only triple bunk or few in that group. It took us 45 minutes. We didn't tell them what to draw. They knew how to make those numbers do what they needed to do in each district. We are about to take this process down over one outlier. I don't have to call the name of the district. We know what it is. But it's just one outlier for all the work we did this past week. I want you to think about that. One outlier. It'll take over 500 hours. 500 hours. If we decided to talk about each cluster in here today, 560 hours to go through that 14. Do we want to do that? Or do we need to reconsider our thought on that one outlier? Thank you.
Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose, gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Floyd Rice?
Mr. Speaker, would it be in order for me to make a motion whether to advance Representative Hawkins' amendment?
To call it, you mean to have it for a vote right this moment?
Yes, sir.
No, the chair will call that up in just a moment. The chair is trying to work through the mechanics on this right now. Body will just be at ease just a moment.
Representative Hawkins, could the gentleman approach the dais, please? Members, the Representative Hawkins is still getting the motion. The House will come to order. Representative Hawkins was getting his motion together. The chair did review it, and the chair would rule that it actually is, after consultation with the clerk, would be in order. And so the gentleman would like to make that send forth that motion. We'll certainly take it. And the way it'll work is we would vote on, I believe there's voted, the plan is to vote on 13 groupings as one vote as opposed to going through each one. And then there was one grouping, and I assume it was the Robeson, whatever county involved in that one, was the other one that the gentleman wanted a separate vote. And then there would be a third vote on the remaining.
Or is it? The first vote is whether or not we actually do divide the question.
So to clarify, members, remember we have court reporters trying to take this down. So the vote would be to go ahead and approve all of the districts that were being changed, there were 13 of those, as well as the other districts that went unchanged this year that aren't part of it. And then there would be a separate vote on the other district there. So if the gentleman wants to make the motion, he is welcome to do so. Then Representative Hawkins has informed the chair that he would, I'll let him be recognized for that. So, Representative Hawkins, should the gentleman wish to make that motion, the gentleman is in order to do so. Does the gentleman wish to do so?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wish to withdraw the amendment that I put forth. Thank you.
The gentleman is permitted to withdraw the request for the division of the question. House will come back to order. Further discussion, further debate on second reading. If not, question before the House. Chair is trying to give time for other members here. Question for the House is the passage of House Bill 1020 on its second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 60 having voted in the affirmative and 52 in the negative. House Bill 20 passes its second reading. Members, we're going to take a, it is, that we will be proceeding to third reading shortly. The chair was informed that there may be an amendment, and if there is an amendment, that would have to be done over in the public terminals, drafted first and then brought over. So the chair is going to see if the members are still wanting to proceed with an amendment. So we're just going to stand at ease till 4:30, give folks a little bit of a break here. So. We are just doing some final technical check-throughs and then checking on some scheduling matters right now. So we do intend to take the third reading up in just a few moments, but need to check some scheduling and make sure staff's got everything ready to go. So just another probably 10 more, just another 10 more minutes and we'll be...
Well, Mr. Speaker, if I could just be heard.
For what purpose of aid from Surrey, Representative Stevens, rise.
On scheduling, I have the only bill remaining on the calendar, and I would request that we perhaps move that to Monday night.
We'll move that when we come back momentarily. We're just trying to check a couple logistical matters, but we should be no more than 10 minutes, and we can take care of third reading. We'll stand at ease. Take their seats. House Bill 1020, having passed its second reading, will be read a third time. The clerk will read.
Gentleman Senator North Carolina next.
The gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, is recognized for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, pursuant to Rule 24.1B, subsection B, I move to divide the second edition of House Bill 1020 into two propositions as follows. Proposition 1, the long title, the enacting clause, and everything except districts 16, 46, and 47 as they appear on page 3, lines 26 through 28, and page 13, lines 1 through 7. So everything but that Columbus, Pender, Robeson district. Then Proposition 2 would be the long title, the enacting clause, and districts 16, 46, and 47 as they appear on page 3, lines 26 through 28, and page 13, lines 1 through 7.
Representative Hall, is this essentially the motion that was previously made but withdrawn by Representative Hawkins? You don't understand?
I believe that to be the case, Mr. Okay. Speaker.
The gentleman has moved to divide the question pursuant as stated pursuant to Rule 24.1. B. Is there any objection to that? Any objection? Hearing no objection, the question will be divided in such a manner. The gentleman from Caldwell is recognized to debate the motion to divide the question. That will actually we did divide the question. Chair apologizes. Say we don't do this every day. So where we will be now, the question that's before the body will be Proposition 1, which would be the enactment of the long title, the enacting clause, and everything except for districts 46 and 47 as they appear on page 3, lines 26 through lines 20 through 28, and page 13, lines 1 through line 7, the effect of that being that this vote would be the vote approving all of the districts except for the three districts in the, whatever that county grouping was, their districts 16, 46, and 47. So it would be approving all other 117 other than those three. So that is what, so now we're here to debate that motion. So the gentleman is recognized on the vote to debate on third reading.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, you've heard the motion before you, and I would like to say that I had not thought of this at all before until Representative Hawkins brought it up, and I think that it is a good idea considering where we are as a body right now, and I thank Representative Hawkins for doing that. Let me say, I've genuinely enjoyed getting to know Representative Hawkins better on the committee and working in redistricting with him. I think this also helps us to come together and compromise where we can at this stage. And if you weren't inside the House Redistricting Committee, you may not know, but it has been said on this floor today, that 12 of the 14 groupings that we voted on were unanimous. That is, all Republicans and all Democrats in there voted in favor of 12 of the 14 groupings. On one of them, in Cumberland County, there was only one no vote against. We were only one vote away on that Cumberland County grouping from being unanimous. So we're either unanimous or almost unanimous on 13 of 14 groupings. Of course, the one that we haven't been unanimous on is that Columbus Pender-Robison grouping that you've heard so much about today. I heard various members from the Democratic side today mention that there was only one outlier, as Representative Cunningham said, and Representative Queen in his statements mentioned that this one particular grouping was a problem for him, and I believe Representative Harrison mentioned that she might otherwise like to vote for the bill, but for that Robison, Columbus, and Pender grouping. And so, in hearing the idea that was put forth before, I think this is the best way to do it. It's the best idea in a sense, in a spirit of bipartisanship that we had in that committee over there. You know, this is my second term. I've never gone through a redistricting process quite like we have, but my guess is the House redistricting process that we've gone through this time was the most collegial and most bipartisan redistricting process that this General Assembly has probably ever seen. As I said earlier, I genuinely enjoyed getting to know Representative Hawkins and some of the other Democratic members as we stood in front of a computer and maybe sometimes felt how inept we might be to try to draw some of these maps because it gets complicated quickly. But you had Republican and Democratic members standing there and saying, well, why don't we try this or why don't we try that? And the net result of that was a unanimous or near unanimous vote on 13 out of 14 of these county groupings. And so I hope that what we can do is come together on these 13 groupings and agree for the first time in this General Assembly's history, by the way, on nonpartisan maps that both parties can agree on 13 of 14 groupings. I'd love to see us do that on the 14th. I believe that's the right thing to do. However, I understand that some of my friends on the other side disagree. So come with us on these 13. Let's agree on those. Those are the ones that the committee members agreed on almost unanimously. Those are the ones that I've heard so many of you today say that you'd like to be able to vote for, but you can't vote for that one. And finally, the only real amendments that we've seen were for the Pender, Columbus, and Robison District. And again, we've had that debate today, so it's essentially going to be two separate questions. Why don't we make history today and for the first time ever have, at least on 13 or 14 of these groupings, have a bipartisan, nonpartisan map enacted on 13, at least on 13 or 14 of these groupings today. Hope you'll support Proposition 1.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Wake, Representative John, rise?
I guess it's an inquiry of the chair, Mr. Chairman.
The gentleman's recognized.
Mr. Chairman, both of these questions are part of one bill. And before I vote, I want to be clear as to what the effect might be if one or the other of the two questions should not receive an affirmative vote.
If one of the questions would not receive an affirmative vote, the bill would have to be sent back to committee. For what purpose, gentleman from Wake, Representative Jackson, rise.
Speak on proposition number one.
Gentleman has floor to debate.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to make sure, I don't want to say the same thing twice, but I do want to make sure that you understand that we do have objections to this and how it was handled. And to vote aye on 13 county groupings and no on a 14th would ignore all the problems we had with the process. Whether you're talking about taking public comment prior to any drawing taking place, whether you're using map, talking about using base maps that were drawn by a statistician, not in public as required by the court order, whether you're talking about why one expert's maps were chosen over the others, never been really explained, whether you're talking about why we used five unique maps and not the five best maps, never been really explained. I think we all know why we used ping pong balls, and it was to make it random. I know in the committee we also, there was also a random.org site that was used to generate a random number when the machine was not available. I just don't think that's what the court had in mind when they told us to sit down and do this in a nonpartisan fashion. I don't know why members were permitted to move people into different districts instead of having the nonpartisan staff to do it. We have not got into the debate so far about how to fix this problem that we continually find ourselves in North Carolina, whether the majority or the minority party has been drawing districts. We are the most litigated state in the country, going back many, many, many years. There's a better way to do it. I don't think it involves ping pong balls. I am a no on the Proposition 1 and Proposition 2.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of Proposition 1, which is the long title, the enacting clause, and everything except for districts 16, 46, and 47, as they appear on page 3, lines 26 through 28, and page 13, lines 1 through 7. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Belk wish to vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 68 having voted in the affirmative, 42 in the negative. Proposition 1 passes. Now we'll go to Proposition 2. Again, Proposition 2 is the long title, the enacting clause, and districts 16, 46, and 47 as they appear on page 3, lines 26 through 28, and page 13, lines 1 through 7. Again, this would be the approval of those three districts within the grouping involving, I believe, Robeson County. Chair, apologize, doesn't know which counties for sure. I believe it's Robeson, Pender, and Columbus counties. So that will be this one. So the gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, is recognized to debate Proposition 2.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll try to be very brief because we debated this one for a long time earlier. I believe that you should vote yes. Representative Jackson thinks that you should vote no. Vote your conscience. Thank you.
For what purpose, gentleman from Cabarrus, Representative Pittman, rise.
Speak on Proposition.
Gentleman has the floor to debate the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wasn't going to do this. I was just going to keep my mouth shut and just vote the way I voted. But I think for the record, maybe I better clarify why I'm voting the way I am. I think the committee has done a fantastic job given the task that was set before them and the limitations that they had and all that. And I have no objection to their work since they felt they had to do it. And I had no objection to what they came up with of the product. However, my objection is to the very fact of the courts making us do this. I consider the courts getting involved and anyone going to the courts to get them involved to make us do redistricting other than, as our state constitution says, after each decennial census to be unconstitutional. So I'm not voting against this committee and the work that they've done. I'm voting against the courts telling us to do something unconstitutional. I took an oath to uphold the Constitution. That's what I'm seeking to do. We shouldn't even be doing this because the Constitution plainly says we do it after each census and the districts are to remain the same until after the next census. The Constitution is unequivocal about that, unambiguous. So I consider whether Republicans have brought the suit to the court or Democrats, it doesn't matter. It's unconstitutional to be doing this, therefore I'm voting no.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of
Proposition 2 on third reading. Again, the chair will state it again for the record, which is the long title, the enacting clause, and districts 16, 46, and 47 as they appear on page 3, lines 26 through 28, and page 13, lines 1 through 7. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will, like machine, record the vote. 60 having voted in the affirmative and 50 in the negative. Proposition 2 has passed its third reading. Members, now that Proposition 2 has also passed, House Bill 1020 has passed its third reading and be ordered sent to the Senate by a special messenger.
Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does the lady from Guilford, Representative Harrison,
that be recorded as a no on Proposition 1, please?
The lady will be recorded as having voted no on Proposition 1 or 2, I'm sorry.
1.
That will be the first time voting no on Proposition 1. For what purpose does the lady from Wake, Representative Ball, rise?
Inquiry of the chair.
The lady's recognized for inquiry.
Mr. Speaker, for my understanding, perhaps maybe some of the public listening, when this goes to the Senate, will it go in two pieces like we've just voted on it?
No, it will proceed over as one bill, but it will reflect that the vote on the two sections. For what purpose does the gentleman from Durham, Representative Hawkins, rise?
Representative Ball asked my same question, and the addition to that is, why wouldn't they be able to see it in two parts as we did?
There would be the two votes there, and we'll make sure those are available as always. For what purpose, gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Harris, rise?
To be recorded as a yes on Proposition 1.
The gentleman be recorded as having voted aye on Proposition 1. And the clerk did confirm it'll be very clear both on the jacket and on the web and all the official votes that it was two separate votes. So it will reflect that. Chair is going to move House Bill 935 from this evening's calendar to Monday's calendar. Notices and announcements. If not, for what purpose, the gentleman from Pitt, Representative Murphy, rise.
Point of personal privilege.
Gentlemen is recognized. Speak to a point of personal privilege. The chair would ask the body to please come to order. And actually, Representative Murphy, before you do, I want to do something. I want to thank our staff who have helped us on this redistricting bill, worked so hard. Please join me in doing so. The gentleman from Pitt, Representative Murphy, is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen and colleagues, I just want to say this is my last day in the North Carolina General Assembly. It has been my honor and privilege to work with all of you. I never really ever thought I would end up in politics. I went to high school about 2 miles from here. And I was in a tower over there looking at this building one day, and never in my wildest dreams did I ever think I would have the honor of serving with you all. God has led my wife and I on a different path. I will be submitting my full resignation from this august body on Monday, and not to belabor any points, but I have learned so much from each one of you. I have friends here that will be my lifelong friends, and I just say from the bottom of my heart, I thank you. You know, we have such an awesome, awesome responsibility to represent the wonderful people of North Carolina. And yes, we have disagreements on how we look at the world. Yes, we have disagreements on how we think the future of our state should go. But I really think at the bottom line, at the end of the day, that each of us is here for the right reason. And that's to look and care for the people of our each individual districts. And it's been my greatest honor, and I just wanted to say thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Representative Murphy, I want to join. I know, what I know colleagues feel. Congratulations in your election to Congress. And please know around budget time, we'll be calling you to send money from D.C. So, but congratulations again there, Representative Murphy. For what purpose does the gentleman from Macon, Representative Corbin, rise?
Point of personal privilege.
Gentleman's recognized. Speak to a point of personal privilege.
Came in with most of this group sitting right in here as freshmen with Greg Murphy. And Greg, I just wanted to say on behalf of our class that we love you, and we're very proud of you. We're sad that you're leaving us. When we went through freshman orientation together, I thought, wow, I get free urological advice for a while. So, but Greg, you've been such a great friend and a great legislator that I just wanted to publicly thank you for your contributions to not only our class that came in together, but to this entire body. Thank you. God bless.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Haywood, Representative Queen, rise?
Well, after such an emotional...
And that's point of personal privilege.
Point of personal privilege, emotional impacted week. If you want to come up to the mountains and chill out, we're going to have the first annual Elk Festival in Haywood County, which this body has designated the elk capital of the world. You can trap fish, watch the elk, chill in the woods, just whatever you want to do, and lots of good music and food and fun. So come to Haywood County if you like. Thank you.
Thank you. For what purpose does the gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell, rise?
For a moment of personal privilege and an announcement, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Dr. Murphy, congratulations. I look forward to continue working with you. You represent the good people of Eastern and Northeastern North Carolina in Congress. We do expect a lot and demand a lot from our congressmen, so we know you'll answer every email and every phone call, and be very responsive to your friends. But and congratulations. What a gauntlet of a run, but we're very glad to have you representing us in Washington. With that said, to the rest of us, we will have caucus on Monday at 5:30. An email will go out over the weekend and to let you know the exact place, but we will have caucus at 5:30 on Monday, so thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Floyd, rise?
To see if Representative Murphy will yield for a question.
Representative Murphy, is the gentleman yield?
Office hours for from 5 o'clock.
He yield.
Yes.
Representative Murphy, I just want to say to you that my vision is not that well, but every now and then I can look over there and I can hear you say, wonder if the gentleman from Wake will yield for a question. And so I'm going to miss that saying and hearing you say that. God bless you.
Thank you very much. If I may respond, I always like to look over there and figure out from you what we're doing for the next week.
Mr. Speaker.
For the gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, rise.
For an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor for an announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, just so members can know, our central staff worked until about 3 a.m. this morning. The chair, as chair of redistricting, I'm going to direct that the map drawing room be closed effective now and reopened again on Monday so that they can go home.
Can you, gentlemen, approach the dais just a moment? That will the speaker will direct that as well, that the that room will be open on Monday if members wish to look at amendments or look at computers, whatever. Anyway, it'll be open on Monday if they want to do that. The chair is going to appoint as a conferee to Senate Bill 199, short title Child Sex Abuse Strengthen Laws. Representative Donna White is an additional member of that conference committee. For what purpose is the lady from Johnson, Representative White, rise?
Point of personal privilege.
Ladies recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
On behalf of Representative Lambeth, Representative Potts, and Representative Dobson and myself, we just want to thank our senior health chair, and we are going to miss you. You have been a light that has kept us going, an energy that's kept us going late at night, and even when you were not there, we knew that you were in the room, but you had good staff, and they were representing your opinions. So I'm going to miss my doctor friend. But I know that you're worried about who's going to take care of the staff. So the three nurses, Representative Cunningham and Representative Adcock, and I will make sure that we take care of the folks here. We love you. We're going to miss you a lot.
Thank you. For what purpose does the lady from Wilson, Representative Farmer Butterfield, rise?
Point of personal privilege.
Ladies recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would be remiss if I did not say something about Dr. Murphy. Dr. Murphy and I served together in Pitt County, and I remember when he was a little freshman trying to learn how to politic. And I remember him distinctly telling me that he wasn't a politician, and he was just going to do his best, but he was a doctor first and foremost. And he has done an outstanding job, and he's been a delight to work with. And I like the nonpartisan way in which we work together. And I wish you the best. I love your wife. And I appreciate your practice taking care of me when I had a kidney stone that needed to be removed. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Craven, Representative Speciale, rise?
Point of personal privilege.
Gentleman's recognized.
It's rare when two people can run against each other and remain friends. We were friends before the campaign started. We were friends when the campaign was over. We continue to be friends now. He changes. He'll still be my friend after Tuesday, but he will be my congressman, so he will be hearing from me. I've already got a pile of stuff for you. But I wish you well, congratulate you, and God bless you. Let me know when the office is open.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Cumberland, Representative Floyd, rise.
Last inquiry, Mr. Speaker.
Gentlemen's recognized.
I'll see if the redistricting chair would yield for a question.
Representative Lewis, gentlemen yield?
Yes, sir.
He yields.
Representative Lewis, I want to get up here real early Monday. So could you tell me what time the redistricting will be open? I hope it's afternoon.
Representative Floyd, the room 643 is going to be used to receive the public comment by the House and the Senate redistricting committees. It was my intention to direct that the room be reopened for map drawing after that. So I don't think you have to get up here too early on Monday.
Thank you, Representative.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Beaufort, Representative Kidwell, rise.
Point of personal privilege.
Jones recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Dr. Murphy, I just want to say congratulations publicly. You and I met really as I was running on the campaign trail, more over the phone than anything else. Didn't get to know you until I was here, and I've come to respect you very much in what you do and what you've done, your positions you've taken politically. I'm very pleased to say that although when I stand next to you, I tower over you, I look up to you, sir. Congratulations and Godspeed.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Rutherford, Representative Rogers, rise.
Personal privilege.
Gentlemen's recognized.
It'll be quick because I get choked up. Best seatmate ever.
Any further notices or announcements? Oh, there are two from the clerk. The clerk was recognized.
House Committee on Redistricting will meet jointly Monday, September 16th at 12 p.m. in 643 LOB. The House Committee on Health will not meet on Tuesday, September 17th at 10 a.m. 643 LOB.
Last call. Any other notices or announcements? If not, the gentleman from Hardwick, Representative Lewis, recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourned to reconvene Monday, September 16th at 7 o'clock p.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1.
Representative Lewis moves, seconded by Representative Davis, that the House do now adjourn to reconvene Monday, September 16th at 7 p.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. House stands adjourned.
On motion of the chair, Senate Bill 61.
short title handicapped and various other license plates. That bill is withdrawn from the Committee on Appropriations and referred to the Committee on Rules Counter Operations of the House.